Hello, Cleveland. Welcome to another episode of the Dogland Podcast. I am your host, Anthony Jokey. It is draft week, and it is an exciting time. So, of course, I can't do this on my own. I got my co-host, Jackson McCurry. Jackson, man, how we doing?
We're good, man. It's the final countdown, so to speak. We are here. We're just a couple days out from the draft. Just posted my last mock draft this morning over at Dogs by Nature, and we're in it, man. We're just going to pump out a lot of content this week and get people ready for the draft. And like I said last night on the episode with Alex, we'll recap everything as it happens each night this weekend as well. So looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's always a fun time. And it's a kind of a pretty exciting week around here in Cleveland, I guess you could say. You got Cavs playoffs, which I'm going to the game tonight on Monday. The Lake Erie Cleveland Monsters are, I'll always say Lake Erie. The Cleveland Monsters won their division and are going to the playoffs. The Guardians are just on a roll, have the best record in baseball, which is crazy, being 16-6 to start the year. So it's a fun time, and I'm excited for, all the positivity. I mean, this could be a year where all three teams make the playoffs, and
it's never happened before,
which is crazy. Yeah. I mean, I guess all four, if you include the Monsters as well.
Yeah.
You kind of remember what 2016 was like, winning the NBA Finals. The Monsters won the Calder Cup. I guess first it was Stipe.
Yeah.
And then the Monsters and the Cavs, and then the Indians almost won the World Series, so that was a fun year.
And the Browns went 1-15.
Yeah. We know. We talked through it on this podcast.
And then what was it? 2007. The Browns went 10-6. The Cavs went to the finals, and the Indians at the time were up 3-1 in the ALCS. So those are like the two closest years to. Well, 2007 is our closest year to where all three teams nearly made the playoffs, but. It's early with the Guardians, but there's a good chance that all three Cleveland teams could be in the postseason in some form in 2024,
which would be super cool. Yeah. And I saw today, I had sent it over in our group chat. The attendance that the Monsters get is crazy. They average over 10,000 fans a game, which is the best in the AHL. And they've kind of held that record for 4 out of the last 5 years. So I mean, people love hockey here too. And I saw an article, I think you actually sent it to me last week, about, could the Hazels buy the Blue Jackets and increase their footprint down in Columbus. I would love for a pro hockey team here in Cleveland. I don't know if they would ever like consider moving them, but I think it would be super cool if that's something that the Hazels decided to do as well. Because, they have the Browns and they have the Columbus Crew too. And Milwaukee and a Bucks.
Without a doubt. Yeah, they're increasing their sports portfolio. And if they want to throw their hat into the hockey ring, I mean, there's a good way to do it. With Columbus, they've tried to expand the Browns fandom down there. And, buying the Blue Jackets, investing in them the way they've invested in the Bucks and, the Crew and the Browns, obviously, that would be a great thing for the Haslins. But I know you probably haven't listened to last night's episode. Alex, working for the Wings, said that, there's positives about the women's Final Four being in Cleveland. And he said that the WNBA was keeping an eye on it. Obviously, the Rockers were here in the late 90s, early 2000s. So if the WNBA, if this becomes the golden era of women's basketball and they look to expand the WNBA again, maybe Cleveland's on the short list of possible expansion cities. Obviously, they were here before. We know the positive outcomes that the Women's Final Four has had when Cleveland has hosted it the couple times that they've had in the last couple decades. Maybe the Rockers make a comeback too. So it's an exciting time for Cleveland sports and obviously women's sports and everything going on. So, Cleveland could be booming again as far as a sports town goes if things come to fruition in one form or another.
Can I throw this idea out there? Haslam's, buy the Blue Jackets and, decide they want to bring them up here. imagine a brand new hockey arena right next to a brand new Cleveland Browns stadium?
It's a possibility.
It'd be fun. It'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it would be. I could see them staying at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse, though, too, since they already, you know, host a hockey team. Maybe they relocate the Monsters somewhere. But, yeah, I could see something like that. I don't know how much Cleveland would appreciate it, given that they might lose the Browns in some sort of facet if the Browns ultimately move to Brook Park. So, who knows? That would be crazy, though. I could see the Haslams wanting to just keep it in Columbus, though. But, you know, having a pro hockey team in Cleveland would be cool to have once again.
It would be. It would be really awesome. I would be very happy about that, but I don't know if we'll ever see it in our lifetime. You know, they just moved the franchise from Arizona out to Salt Lake City. So yeah. you never really know, you know, what could happen. But I kind of tied into Haslam's there because we are a Browns podcast, and I just, you know, felt like it'd be a good transition into what we normally talk about. And, you know, like I said, we had the draft coming up on Thursday. So what we are going to do today is go over Jack's mock 8.0, which you can read over at Dogs by Nature. We are going to go through that. And then we are going to do a Browns mock draft live ourselves and kind of go over a few options with each pick. As we go along in the simulator, we're going to be using the PFF simulator for this one. So let's talk about your mock draft over on Dogs by Nature. And at pick number 57, you selected Xavier Leggett, wide receiver out of South Carolina, which if he were to fall this far to 57, that would be crazy. It would be great for the Browns.
Yeah, it really would be. Like, you know, I do these simulators daily and you always get different outcomes, obviously. It's never going to pump out the same, you know, 53 guys going in the same order every time. You get endless possibilities. And when Leggett fell to 57, granted, I did trade back because I was at 54. So I slid back and Tampa, and I got an extra third round pick, which I don't think that would happen in reality. I don't think you're getting a third round pick for sliding back three spots, but getting Leggett here. And somebody got mad at me there because I was like, I don't think he falls this far. Like Carolina allegedly has promised that he'll be the pick at 33 for them on day two if he's there. But if he's there at 57, it's a home run pick for the Browns. They need an explosive wide receiver. Leggett has been the playmaker. Well, he was a big time playmaker last year. And the first time he got significant targets at South Carolina, he is older, which would go against the guardrails per se. The ones that, you know, Jack Duffin has put together. It's the trends that the Browns have made under Andrew Berry's regime as a general manager. But, you know, he's tough when it comes to contested catches. He's a great blocker. He's also shown an ability as a kick returner, which with the new rules, maybe the Browns use him in that rule, in that role in year one in his rookie year as he adapts to the NFL and continues to work on his route running abilities and everything. But if he were to fall at 57, it's no doubt it's a home run pick by Andrew Berry. And with the given caveat that he, you know, in this scenario, you slide back, you pick up an extra draft pick for next year, which gives you more ammo to wheel and deal per se in the draft, which Andrew Berry loves to do.
Not to mention that he could come in here and really have no expectations because of the current cast that they have with Amari Cooper, Elijah Moore, Jerry Jeudy as well.
Yeah. I mean, you got a guy in the late second round, and this goes for anybody that they ultimately pick. If they do pick one at wide receiver, whether it's Malachi Corley, Troy Franklin, Leggett, Keon Coleman, who Alex picked in his final mock draft. There's not a big expectation for a guy to come in. Like you come in, you know, work your way into a rotational role at wide receiver. And then maybe down the stretch, if you're making a big enough impact, which we've seen some rookie receivers do, that you are involved in the offensive game plan and you are one of Deshaun's favorite targets as the Browns push to the playoffs. But yeah, a guy can come in, work his way in. We saw Cedric Tillman kind of ease his way in last year where he was playing more snaps towards the end of the regular season, but you don't have the expectations like it was when this podcast started, where if we drafted a guy in the second round, we expected him to be a big time impact player. And it's not the same old Browns. Shout out to Andy, but this is a different time. for the draft. This is more looking towards the future, but you do hope at 54 that they can be some kind of a rotational piece and could come in and make an impact.
At pick number 85, you had selected Karan, and I swear you do this every year to me with the pronunciation on some of these names. So you had to bust out the guide for me. And I'll still probably not get it 100% right, but Karan Amegaji from a tackle out of Yale.
Yeah, and shout out to Dane Brugler with the Beast Guide for adding in the pronunciations, because there is some unique names for sure in this draft class. But yes, Amegaji, he is one of my favorite offensive tackle prospects. Everybody knows the love I have for Javon Foster, who at the Browns decided to take a tackle on day three of the draft. That is the one guy I would love to see in a Browns uniform. But Amegaji, the potential's there. He's not a guy that could come in, I think, and be, if say last year with DeJuan Jones, you know, he had to play right away because of Jack Conklin's injury, and he made a great impact before he got hurt himself. Amagaji's got the tools to be a long-term offensive tackle, but he does need some refining. He does need some work. His hand usage, his footwork isn't the best. That's where, you know, offensive line coach Andy Dickerson comes in and works with him up close and personal, rookie mini camp with the OTAs and everything, working out those kinks. He's also coming off a quad injury last year, which limited him, but the potential is there for him, Anthony. I think in a year, he gets to sit back and hopefully watch, you know, Jed Wills, DeJuan Jones, Jack Conklin do their thing at offensive tackle. And then next year, whether he, you know, replaces Jed Wills, or maybe if, and I don't think this is a legit thing, sliding DeJuan Jones over to left tackle and him becoming the right tackle, I could see something like that as well. Even though I don't think it's likely, I think DeJuan's the more long-term piece at right tackle, but I think the Browns can come away, Anthony, with some kind of tackle here in the first couple rounds with the picks that they have, 54, 85, or even waiting and maybe a trade back scenario to get a guy in the fourth round. The offensive tackle class is so deep that they could potentially find Jed Wills' long-term replacement in this draft, because this is a pretty deep offensive tackle class.
Yeah, I think this would be the year, or, you know, the future at guard. You know, you probably have to answer a question too with. So, I mean, this is a deep offensive line draft. So yeah, whether or not it's guard, tackle, whatever position, you should hopefully be able to find one. And we've seen how well Andrew Berry has kind of, you know, evaluated that position so far. And you would have hope that they would be able to find somebody, you know, whether it be to replace Jed Wills or, you know, somebody like Teller or Bertonio down the line.
Yeah, for sure. And Amegaji actually has experience at guard too. So worst case scenario, you kick him inside and maybe he's a long-term replacement for Bertonio or Teller. He played guard his sophomore year at Yale before kicking out to offensive tackle. So the flexibility is there. Maybe you use him as a swing guy if needed during his rookie season. But I think Dobby, the hope is if you draft him, he becomes the long-term replacement offensive tackle, which is something the Browns do need to find because Jed's in his last year under contract.
All right. In the fifth round, you have the Browns going into tight end position where, you know, Harrison Bryant left via free agency. You have David Njoku. Jordan Akins is in the last year of his contract. And the one guy that they signed, Giovanni Richie. As well. But, you know, you probably need somebody else in there. And, you know, that's a spot where they could develop somebody as well. So you have them taking Theo Johnson out of Penn State.
Yeah, Jack Duffin will probably kill me because I'm going against the guardrails in my mock, but I do think they do get stretched somewhat this year just because it is an older draft class. But, you know, Theo Johnson, you talk about a freak athlete. Anthony, dude, killed it at the combine with a 9.93 Roz. Big target at Penn State for whoever the quarterback's been the last couple of years. Drew Aller, obviously, of Northeast Ohio is the guy there right now. 11 touchdowns in his last two seasons at Penn State. Big time target. I think he can do some things his rookie year alongside Njoku and Akins and in that tight end room. He definitely needs to work on his blocking, which we remember Njoku took him 4 or 5 years to become a refined blocker at the tight end position. Obviously having Bill Callahan did help that. We'll see what Dickerson can bring to not only the offensive line, but helping, you know, the tight ends in the blocking game as well. But, you know, you want a big time target at the tight end room, and it does feel like the Browns will try to potentially add one at some point in the draft. I think Theo Johnson's that guy. It's just a matter of, do the Browns go out and want to draft a guy that's going to be 23 and a half years old when the 2024 season starts? Maybe in round five, it's a little easier to stomach, but he's a top 100 prospect. When you look at the consensus board on Mock Draft Database, he might go higher just because of the raw athleticism that he has, or the pure athleticism that he has. But if he fell to 156, I would have no problem pulling the trigger at that point.
All right. In the sixth round, again, you like to do these name things to me. The Browns take a linebacker out of Washington named Ed Afuan Yolo Foshio.
Yeah. When you look at the linebacker room right now, we have JOK and we have Jordan Hicks. Like, those are the only two that I can really think of off the top of my head. And, you know, we lost some guys in free agency. We have, you know, some unproven guys behind those guys. At this point in the draft, these are lottery tickets. You take chances on guys. I just want athletes at the linebacker position. If they can go and tackle and cover, bring them in. And if they're great athletes, even better. Yolo Foshio, or Foshio, however you pronounce his name. I would take a stab on him in the sixth round here at this point. He's another older prospect. Sorry, Jack Duffin. It is what it is. I want great athleticism at the position. And you bring this guy in, hope he, you know, makes an impact early on in special teams and then works his way into some kind of rotational role alongside JOK and Jordan Hicks. But at this point, it's just dart throws at this point. You take chances on guys that you really like during the process. This guy was all over the field in Washington, racked up a lot of tackles, tested really well at the combine. At this point in round six, you just take a chance on him, and that's what I would do at this point.
All right. In the seventh round, I think this is the first time you got to have pick 227.
Yes.
And you took a running back out of Boise State, George Helani.
Yeah, probably not my favorite running back at this point in the draft. I like Frank Gore. I like Kendall Milton. Jace McLennan from Alabama is another name to watch, I think, at this point. If the Browns waited until the end of the draft to pick up a running back. But Helani is kind of like in the Nick Chubb mold. He's a one-cut running back that loves to go downhill. He's a good pass catcher. There's just concerns about the durability. But I do think the Browns add a running back at some point. This guy was the best on the board at the time when I made the pick. And it'll be interesting to see what they do here at running back, Anthony, because they have Foreman, Hines, Ford, and Pierre Strong currently, while Nick continues to rehab. Do they draft a running back at some point? I know they've brought some guys in with their top 30 visits. But at this point, again, it's another dart throw. You know, Helani is among talented backs that could be available on day three of the draft, and he was the best available when I did the simulator, so that's why I ultimately took him.
All right. For the final pick and the last pick in the seventh round, you have defensive tackle Evan Anderson out of FAU.
Yeah, he was the best D tackle on the board. He does fit the guardrails, both in terms of age and athleticism. He's more of a run stuffer than he is a pass rusher, although he did have an uptick in pressures last year at FAU. The D-tackle room is so interesting, and there was some scuttlebutt on X this morning about Michael Hall Jr., which I think Jordan Reed from ESPN had him as our pick at 54. And, you know, if we add a D-tackle, what does that mean for Mo Hurst or Siaki Iko, who the Browns drafted last year? It's a crowded room right now. There's some older guys on one-year contracts. So it'd be interesting to see if they do add somebody for the future and maybe stash them on the practice squad, and or the hope would be that they can stash them on the practice squad for a year. But at this point, you take Anderson, because we do have plenty of pass rushing D tackles on the roster. Have someone that can help Dalvin Tomlinson in the run stuffing game. And Anderson, I think, was a good good fit at the time late in the draft, just to take another, like I said, another chance, another dart throw per se at the position.
Yeah, that's kind of, you know, what the seventh round is, kind of a dart throw. You might target somebody who you can see going undrafted and, you know, kind of guarantee you a way to get them, you know, that late. And, you know, there's probably a solid chance that, you know, both seventh round guys and probably even the sixth round player that they pick might not even make the team just based on where the Browns roster currently stands.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and there was, you know, there was a funny segment this morning between Daryl Ryder and Anthony Lima where, you know, Lima was like, well, the last time we saw the Browns, they got boat raced by Houston. How could you say they have a talented roster? And Daryl was like, okay, what position group do you think as needs a starter and you're going to get it in the draft? And like Lima really didn't have an answer, but he was just baiting Daryl to like get mad. And, you know, Ken was actually siding with Daryl at that point. But you look at the roster and, you know, Jack Duffin, our buddy, said, like, shows the roster. And it's like, I can't find too many holes on the roster now. Now, there's depth needed at some positions. Linebackers one, tight ends one. You could make a case for the future at wide receiver and offensive tackle. But, like, I have told you before we hit record, I don't know if we're drafting six rookies this weekend. I could see us packaging picks to move up. I could see us trading out for future picks for like next year or 2025 or 2026 even. Like the roster is pretty stacked. And like, if you do take a bunch of these guys in the sixth and seventh round, I think the hope would be we're going to put them on the practice squad and we're going to let them develop for a year and then hopefully bring them back in 2025 to where they can potentially compete with some other, there are other people in their position group, depending on what they ultimately draft.
The only position that I can see that you potentially draft for starter is running back. And that's if you don't think Chubb's going to be ready. You know, but they do have a handful of guys at that position currently where, you know, they can make it work until he comes back. You know, I would say probably 2 years ago, you could say tight end, but they've moved away from those two tight end sets a little bit, you know, over the last couple of years. I would imagine even more so now with, you know, Ken Dorsey being offensive coordinator and where they want this offense to go. So you'll probably see more 11 personnel out there and you know, the second and third tight end not being as important. Those are really maybe the only two spots where you can make an argument where you could draft for a starter.
Yeah, I think like with running back, it's like if Jonathan Brooks were to fall to 54, I think there should be some heavy debate about taking him. If you don't think Nick Chubb's coming back, and then you got to look at the long-term outlook on that position, because who knows what the long-term outlook is on Nick Chubb. He's pushing 30 and all that. There's that. You wait till 85, maybe take a Trey Benson, who the Browns did bring in for a top 30 visit, but you can wait till the fourth round, take Audric Estime from Notre Dame, Braylon Allen from Wisconsin, and they're 20 years old. So you can mold them into a potential future starting back, or wait until day three or the end of day three and get a quality back that can help this room. But yeah, I'm with you. Like that position, and what was the other position you said? I blanked out for a minute.
Tight end, you know, more so a couple years ago when they were running more two tight end sets.
Yeah, like if we were still running the old Stefanski offense per se, you know, maybe you look at a Jatavion Sanders at 54 because I know the Browns have been on him during the pre-draft process. I think Ben Sinat's a guy that maybe at 85, or if they move back a little bit from 85, could be a guy that could really help in the passing game just because of his athleticism. But yeah, I don't see them adding a starting caliber tight end because we have one, David Njoku, but if they want to add another weapon per se, and they maybe not like the wide receivers as much as some of us do, that they draft one of those tight ends and say, we're going to use him as like a hybrid tight end / wide receiver, where we will line him up as a wide receiver at times more so than we would line him up as an inline tight end.
Yeah, it's certainly an interesting thought there. So I mean, it's what's nice is that you kind of touched on it earlier. We don't really have to draft a specific position. You can kind of go for best guy in that spot that they feel like, and you know, you could have good faith that they get to develop for a little bit this year, and maybe even some next year as well, and you know, not have to be forced to play. Now, maybe they could force the Browns into playing him, which would be great, but you know, there's really no desperate need. We're not throwing you know, Deshaun Kizer out there in his first year when he's not ready. We're not throwing Cody Kessler out there in his first year when he's not ready. So you'll just have to trust us on this one and feel like, you know, they don't have to do a whole lot in terms of having to draft starters to put out there.
Yeah, for sure. I think you, with the depth of this class at wide receiver and offensive tackle, if the Browns draft those at 54 and 85, which I think they should, you're looking more towards 2025 and 2026. I know the debate will be, well, are these guys going to be able to make an impact this year? The plan would be for them to not have to make an impact. Like, we drafted Martin Emerson 2 years ago. I don't think the plan was for him to have to make an impact right away, but he did, and he's continued to make an impact. Last year, the Browns taking DeJuan Jones in the fourth round, I don't think the plan was for him to have to play at all. He had to play immediately and prove that it was one of the steals of the draft. You draft for the future, but sometimes guys, you know, break the door down and say the future is now, and that's okay too. But I think like you draft these guys based on what they can do for the future of the organization. Not right away. There's always exceptions, but I think this draft is more or less trying to add depth for the now and start planning for the future. And especially at 54 and 85, I think they can do just that.
Absolutely. So let's have a little bit of fun here. We have the PFF simulator up, and we're going to go through the Browns draft picks here and kind of pick a few guys, I think, on each pick and talk about it. And you know, maybe figure out the best option for them to take at that spot. So at pick number 54, which will be the Browns' first selection, we're going to be waiting around a while to get there. We got to sit through all of Thursday night because they're not trading into the first round.
Luckily, the Cavs play Thursday night, so we can flip-flop between the Cavs and them. So.
True. That is true. We could have dual screens going. Yes. And then, you know, we'll be sitting around for probably about a couple hours or so, maybe in the second round on Friday night until we get to our first selection. And so some of these guys on here, you know, that you have up on your screen that maybe catch my eye, I would maybe say, and you know, fortunately, Chris Jenkins went like three picks before to the Steelers on the one that we just did. And that's one guy I wanted to discuss. And then we have Karan that you had in your mock draft as well. But who are a few guys on here that you see that catch your eye for pick number 54?
Well, like the guys that went off right before, you mentioned Jenkins, you mentioned Amagaji. Jonathan Brooks goes 53 to the Eagles, which would be interesting because they just signed Saquon Barkley, but Braden Fisk off the board, Sanders, the tight end from Texas, off the board, Leggett and Polk. So there was guys that would be an option for the Browns at 54. But when I'm looking at the board now, Edrin Cooper makes a lot of sense at linebacker. I talked about how it's like JOK and Jordan Hicks on a one-year deal left remaining. He's an option. Malachi Corley is an option. Kingsley, the tackle from BYU, he would be an option at this point. I think in reality, if he's there at 54, I think the Browns run to get him. Rook at D tackle, I think he's an option. Great athleticism at the D tackle position. I think I just found the guy right there, Anthony. If Xavier Worthy's on the board at 54, which I don't even think he's getting out of the first round, I think someone's going to bet on that. He ran the fastest 40 ever. Like, this would be exactly what the Browns need at wide receiver.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to have any debate.
Like, I mean, that could be the guy that they've been looking for in terms of being able to stretch defenses. You know, yeah. we kind of joked a couple podcasts ago, just like, you know, let's trade for Tyreek Hill. You know, a guy that's this fast and Xavier Worthy. I don't know, that would be a very very interesting pick. You know, I was kind of eyeing Blake Corum there until you scrolled down the list. Yeah. And saw Xavier Worthy. So, yeah, I really think that that's where we should go for this first one.
Yeah, because looking at the tackles, and we might have to stop it like 10 picks away, there's still five good tackles on the board. Kingsley, Brandon Coleman, who the Browns met with, Blake Fisher, Roger Rosengarten from Washington, and Patrick Paul. Like, there's five good tackles. Patrick Paul is not even going to, like, he's expected to go a lot higher than people think. PFF has him 101 on the board, which I love. The big differences in between everybody's draft board, it's so fascinating to me. But I do think we would get a tackle at 85 or close to it. But yeah, I just think Xavier Worthy on the board here, and it's a no-brainer. The Browns would take him in this scenario for sure.
Yeah, I think that we should definitely go there. So we did that, and you said we're going to pause about...
We're going to pause at 75.
About 10 picks away here and look at... can you see the prospects, or do you have to...
Oh, I got to switch it real quick. I'm just looking to see who was... Oh, no, we can't look at the prospects. Okay. So who is off the board? Kingsley went 659 to be Houston. And Brandon Coleman went off the board at 72 to the Jets, which makes a lot of sense because they need offensive line help. So the Raiders would be a team that could use a tackle, Washington, Cincinnati, and the Rams. So I would start trying to move, and the Steelers. So I would probably try to start to move up like right about now to try to, and I would have no problem doing it now with the Bears because they're a team that needs draft help, draft capital, because they have two picks left.
Yeah. Yeah, I really couldn't tell you who else is there, but yeah, let's try to move up here just so we kind of see the prospects and go for it. So 10 spots, probably 85 and 227, or maybe both seven-round picks.
Let's try this. 85, 227, and 243 for 75. Not accepted. Okay. Let's do...
206.
206 and 227. So 36% chance. Not accepted. I don't want to trade 156.
Yeah, me either.
Let's try 206. 206, we have three sixes next year. So let's try 85, 206, and a future six-round pick for 75. Oh. Not accepted. If they don't accept, okay, this is what we're going to do. Let's try two future sixes and 85. Okay. So Kingsley and Coleman went off the board. Let's wait a couple picks. Who would be next? We're at 75. All right, let's try to get to at Washington or Atlanta. Okay. So Atlanta's on the board. Blake Fisher went to the Broncos. So there's a couple tackles left.
Now you might be able to get away with just like a later swap or later pick.
Okay. Yeah. Let's try 227. 85 and 227 for 79.
These six spots.
85 and 206 for 79.
They're being stingy today.
They are being very stingy. Okay, it finally worked. 85 and 206 for pick 79. Trey Benson's on the board. Bucky Irving's on the board. Ray Davis. Marshawn Lloyd.
They really no tackles there.
Roger Rosengarten and Patrick Paul are there. I love Patrick Paul.
Go down a few more spots.
Dominic Puni. He's there too. So there's three tackles on the board.
I like the player that's one above Dominic Puni.
Kate
even
Stover.
Even though it's not a tackle.
They have the guardrail board up, which shout out to Jack Duffin. Rosengarten fits the guardrails, which we should keep that in mind because we probably want some accuracy and legitimacy here. Patrick Paul's good, but he is older. I know Jordan Reed, who's tight end with the Browns, mentioned Roger Rosengarten as a potential fit for the Cleveland Browns in his last, like, one of his last, like, draft articles he did. So, I mean, unless you want to go to another position. Linebacker, I mean, that Mike Trotter's there.
That Mason McCormick scored so high on Roz, but his age is up there.
Yeah, he's not even on Duffin's thing. Because there's one without the guardrail. Yeah, he's 24. He'll be 24, and he's a projected fifth-round pick on the consensus board.
He had a 9.96.
He did.
Which is a freak out of South Dakota State. Stuff. I mean, Trey Benson there is not a bad option if they go running back. You know, I don't really see a tackle at that point.
Yeah, because look at the drop off on tackles after the.
Do you have maybe Rosengarten? I mean, he's green. He's got
green. Not... He's all green on the guardrails. So that's. I mean, you want. This is probably what Andrew Berry's thinking about when they're having these final draft meetings. Like,
yeah, I know we're probably coming up on our allotted time limit too, that we have to make a pick.
Want to go? Rosengarten.
I know what I would love, but it's probably not going to happen here.
There's good running backs later, so
you,
I mean, it's
you know I love Cade Stover, but
yes,
and I think he would.
Buckeye fans
well.
Will kill it.
But yeah, I think Trey Benson here, I think, would probably or Benson or Rosengarten. What do you want to do?
You want to flip a coin? Here, heads is Rosengarten, tails is Benson. Tails is Benson. All right, we're taking Trey Benson. All right,
I wonder if. Any GM has ever decided between two prospects over a coin flip where they really couldn't decide on who to take.
I know the Browns decided on a starting quarterback flipping a coin, according to urban legend. Romeo Crennel, shout out.
All right.
Benson fits the guardrails too. I mean, he's yellow with the age, but I think in the third round, it'd be okay.
We're just going all right. So we're going all, yeah, we're going all the way down to 156 here.
All right. Oh, my guy is there at one, Javon Foster at offensive tackle.
Out of Missouri.
He is older, so, I mean. Walter Rouse is, he fits the guardrails here. You could wait later and take Frank Crum, which is may or may not be Brock Lesnar's illegitimate child. Do you want to look at wide receivers? What do you want? Position group specific? There's tight ends.
What about the defensive interior? Yeah.
Oh, let's see. Tyler Davis is there, but he's older.
Yeah, it's Logan Lee. Ward. Who are the other ones we got?
We got McKinley Jackson, who fits the guardrails. Got Keith Randolph Jr., who fits the guardrails.
Not till the sixth round. I guess right. we are almost there.
Yeah.
Jordan
Jefferson's an option later.
Is there maybe anybody a little bit lower down that I guess just overall too, that, you know, maybe we could trade back a little bit if we don't love who all is here at the moment.
wide receiver. Let's look at receiver real quick.
Well, there's one guy there. I saw AJ Barner that fits that screen on the board.
Oh, the tight ends.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's good. Obviously, you know, Browns fans might not love it because he's from the school he goes to, but
I know if this would be the year to pick a player from there, this is probably the year to do it.
This is the year. I like Roman Wilson as a receiver. I love at 54. Blake Corum, wouldn't mind it if he fell down the board a little bit past 54, maybe into the third round.
Zach Zinter. Is he there at the moment?
He's there. But I mean, the guy I want's right there, Foster at tackle.
Javon Foster.
Yeah. Cause that was a guy that I saw like really early on in the draft process last year when I started doing the stuff for Dogs by Nature. And I mean, he's older, but he's been consistent at tackle. I mean, he would be a guy that I think could be you let him sit, even though he's older, let him sit for a little bit and then come back and be the starter next year. I think he's actually, Jordan Reed had him as our third round pick today on his seventh round mock. So which I thought was fascinating because everybody else has him as like an early day three prospect, but maybe there's something there. I mean,
yeah, I'm with you. Let's go with Foster. I think that right.
at this point, 156, I think it's good value, even though PFF's a little low on him. But then we got two picks left, 227 and 243. Which at this point, I mean, linebacker, maybe a guard, tight end. I mean, there's D-tackle even.
Joe Milton.
Well, tight end. I've seen somebody talk about putting him at tight end.
With that cannon?
Like Alex said to me months ago, Joe Milton is Cardale 2.0. So far, who did we take? We took Xavier Worthy, traded up for Trey Benson, which I think if we traded up for a running back, Duffin might have a stroke. A lot of people might not like that either, not just Duffin.
Well, it was more so we could see who was there at the moment.
Javon Foster, and then here we are, 227. I have tight ends, interior offensive linemen, and defensive tackles up. Jaden Crumuddy, I don't know how you pronounce the name, D-tackle from Mississippi State's on the board. Tanner McLaughlin, tight end, Arizona. Justin Rogers, D-tackle. Fabian Lovett, D-tackle. Dylan McMahon, center from North Carolina State. Trey Knox. And there's Evan Anderson, who was in my mock earlier. And there's a lot of centers, which you would hope one of them can probably swing out and play guard. Then there's some tight ends there. Layden Robinson was a guy I looked at early on. Didn't really do anything impressive last year for A&M. Tanner McLaughlin's pretty good. I mean, he's decent. There's nobody left that fits the guardrails, honestly.
Marcus Harris does.
Okay, yeah. Evan Anderson does. Oh, I didn't put linebacker in here.
Good call. Kind of mirroring what you got over here so I could think through too.
Nope.
It's hard because there's only a handful of linebackers. Do you have Jalen Ford on there? He fits.
No, he's gone.
I just saw him.
Oh yeah, there he is. Yeah, he fits. Yeah. Honestly, I take Jalen Ford here.
He had a nice raw score, 8.3.
Yeah. Hold on. He's older, but I just want to see what Tanner McLaughlin's raw was at this point. Yeah, he's 25. Woo. Yeah, that's not.
I would say Marcus Harris or Jalen Ford.
Let's go Jalen Ford. Oh, shit. Jalen Ford, and then I think we can swing back and probably get Evan Anderson there at D tackle. There's not really nobody there at tight end that I can, because I don't know Sacramento State guys and
right. Yeah, Georgia State. You start getting down to the,
you're getting down to the nitty gritty. Yeah. It's where that segment on NFL Network where they're like, do you have film on this guy? And then they get to see if they can stump the truck. All right. So we took Jalen Ford, linebacker, Texas at 227. And then with the last pick, Evan Anderson's still there.
I saw Tanner there.
Tanner's still there. Yeah, these tight ends are not that good. I probably should have took one earlier, but it is what it is. You good with Anderson at this point?
Yeah, I think that'd be.
Hold on. Be fine. I just actually want to look at something. Is there any quarterbacks that intrigue you?
Tua's younger brother.
Jack Plummer.
Sam Hartman. Sure,
Sam Hartman. Jack Plummer, which I'm pretty sure is Jake Plummer's son.
And all the Notre Dame Browns fans would be happy.
Oh, yeah. Now, I think at this point, we just.
I have on my screen, I have Frank Gore Jr.
Ooh, yeah. I love him. If we didn't take Trey Benson, I would just take him later on in the draft, but that's fine. But yeah, I'm good with Anderson at this point. There's just nobody else really that's intriguing. Unless you want to double dip it. You want to double dip at receiver or offensive tackle or anything? Or Frank Crum's there. Because, I mean, we can get out of Conklin's deal after a year, so you can have two developmental tackles, potentially.
What about those couple tackles farther down there, Coker and Jones?
Look at the board real quick.
I don't even see them on here.
Yeah.
They're probably older.
Yeah, they are. Or they're just not that good on the consensus board. I don't know. Anderson or Crum, honestly, that would be the two choices for me.
Oh, I'll go with Anderson.
Okay. We'll take Evan Anderson. And that's it. Our mock draft's done. We'll recap it here real quick. I don't know if you saw Anthony. They have a trophy system now on PFF too. It's pretty funny.
Oh, really?
And awards. Yeah. You get awards for mock drafts, 7-round mocks, doing trades. If you do a consecutive streak of how many times you do a mock draft, we'll call that the Stephen Thomas reward. All right.
It honestly should be.
Our mock draft recap. We, at 54, the shock of the world, we took Xavier Worthy, who was still there, even though he's lower on the PFF board. We moved up from 85 using pick 206, up six spots with Atlanta to get 79. We took Trey Benson. At 156, we took Javon Foster, the tackle out of Missouri. Pick 227, we took linebacker Jalen Ford from Texas. And then at pick 243, we took Evan Anderson, D tackle out of FAU, and PFF gave us an overall grade of B-. They gave us a D on the Javon Foster pick and a C+ on the Worthy pick, but everything else was at least a B-. So I think we did well. So
they didn't give us a grade on the trade either. Did they stop doing that? Because usually they would grade those.
I think so. Okay. I haven't seen one in a while, so.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, you know, this is a fun exercise to do. It's more so to give an idea of the players that are around the picks that the Browns are picking, potentially. So I think that's why this is a little fun to do.
Absolutely. I like I said, I do these every day. It's a fun exercise. I go back and forth between this one and the Pro Football Network simulators just to see how different their boards are. Sometimes I jump over and do mock draft database because that's more the consensus. But it's a fun exercise to do, and it gets you familiar with all the prospects, not just the ones that I or anybody else would just want to pound the table for in the draft, because you get a good feel for everybody across the board.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's a fun thing. And did you want to tease what we're going to do on Wednesday?
Yeah. So we do this, I think, almost every year since the podcast inception. We're going to do a first round mock where we'll alternate back and forth between picks. We still haven't decided who's going to do the odds and evens, but stick around for that. Even though the Browns don't have a pick, we'll try to guess how the first round's going to shake out. And it's going to be an interesting one, Anthony, right after the first pick, because there's some Jaden Daniels rumors out there. We don't know exactly what New England's going to do. Schefter said that as of now, they're sticking at 3. So it's kind of like, the chaos is going to get started right after Caleb Williams officially becomes a Chicago Bear, because we don't really know what Washington's going to do. Do they stay with Jaden Daniels, or does he try to push his way somewhere else? I seen last night the odds shifted for J.J. McCarthy to be the number 2 pick, which I never would have expected. But if they want someone that's going to be the ultimate competitor, I mean, regardless of what school he went to, McCarthy was a hell of a competitor at the quarterback position, and for them to get a new start going, that would probably be the shock of the draft if he was ultimately the second pick.
Yeah, it's going to be chaos, I think. We'll have to flip a coin for what we do on Wednesday. So,
breaking news, Zach Wilson just got traded to the Denver Broncos, so that's going to be interesting.
So
I guess, how does that throw a wrench into their draft plans?
Right.
They have the 12th pick. Do they want a quarterback? And
who else do they have quarterback?
Jarrett Stidham. So I would say
there's still drafting one. Fell
to them. Yeah. If a quarterback falls to them, they should take one, or if they want to move up, but that's an interesting plot twist heading into Thursday.
Yeah, definitely. I could see them kind of going in maybe with 3 guys and figuring out who fits the best and who's going to start. I mean, it seems like they have a new era. They have new jerseys that came out today. So, you know, maybe they start a rookie quarterback. When the season starts.
Yeah, definitely. It's a fun week. The rumors, everything that's going to happen. It's always fun. Even though the Browns pick at 54, watching the rest of the, all the NFL teams to see what the moves they make. It's a fun event. I always love the draft.
Absolutely. So it'll be a fun time. We got a lot of stuff coming this week for us with the podcast and whatnot. So we're all excited to keep up on everything. Be sure to follow Jack on Twitter at JackMcCurry08. Give me a follow at Anthony Jokey, J-O-K-I, the Dogland, at the Dogland handle on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Threads, all that fun stuff. Until then, we are going to get on out of here. Like I said, we'll be back on Wednesday, kind of do a full first round mock draft. And until then, and as always, remember, go Browns.